An investigation by NPR News has found that Garrison Keillor, the creative force behind A Prairie Home Companion, fostered a work environment that left some women feeling mistreated, sexualized, or belittled. NPR broke off its business ties with Keillor about 2 months ago, citing inappropriate behavior, quote-unquote, by the radio host toward a woman he worked with. Today, for the first time, NPR CEO John McTaggart went further than that, saying Keillor had made sexual overtures, including unwanted touching and requests for sexual contact. The revelations add context to an NPR News investigation into Keillor and his pattern of troubling incidents in workplace relationships, and they raise questions about what NPR knew and when. Reporter Laura Ewan begins our story.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown.
Over his 4 decades as host of A Prairie Home Companion, Garrison Keillor crafted the public persona of a folksy storyteller with a literary pedigree. But details about his work offstage, revealed through more than 60 interviews with colleagues and collaborators, create a far more complex portrait. NPR News has learned, for instance, that in 2009, a subordinate who was romantically involved with Keillor received a check from his production company along with a proposed confidentiality agreement. A decade before that, a producer sued NPR, claiming Keillor habitually bullied and humiliated her. And in 2012, Keillor apologized to a college student who worked at his St. Paul bookstore after writing a sexual limerick about her. Until today, leaders at Minnesota Public Radio declined to talk about Keillor's behavior or what prompted the company's split with him. Shortly after NPR cut ties with Keillor, he described his offense to the Star Tribune as nothing more than having placed his hand on a woman's back to console her. Later, in emails to NPR News, Keillor claimed his banishment was the result of an extortion scheme by a fired employee seeking a generous severance. NPR CEO John McTaggart said today he rejects the premise of that claim. He said that neither an in-house nor independent investigation into the matter could substantiate Keillor's story. But McTaggart did say the company received allegations about dozens of sexually inappropriate incidents involving Keillor and a woman who worked for him on A Prairie Home Companion. He said the allegations included requests for sexual contact and descriptions of unwanted sexual touching. McTaggart says cutting Keillor off was the most painful decision he's made as CEO, but the investigation bore details he could not ignore.
When we reached a point that from all sources we had sufficient confidence in facts that really required us to act, we took the action we did. It was the right thing to do, it was the necessary thing to do, and we stand by it.
Many of the people NPR News spoke with described other troubling incidents or relationships. Most also spoke on the condition of anonymity because they still work in the industry or fear repercussions. In an email to NPR News on Monday, Keillor said he could not comment for this story, in part because he was in negotiations with NPR over their business relationship. Keillor goes on to say, quote, "I'll be able to tell my side of the story at length, in my own words, in due course, and that's sufficient for me." Matt Sepik picks up our story from here.
Over the past decade, Keillor had at least 2 romantic relationships with women in workplaces he led, not including the woman who made the complaints. That's according to 3 people with direct knowledge of the relationships and 4 former colleagues who said Keillor's affairs were open secrets around the office. By their accounts, the affairs were consensual. But several sources say the relationships were still problematic given the significant power imbalance. One of the women who was romantically involved with Keillor was offered a check for $16,000 from Keillor's company, Prairie Home Productions, alongside a proposed confidentiality agreement and a new contract. The woman never cashed the check and signed neither the contract nor the nondisclosure agreement. A friend said the woman suffered professional and financial consequences from the relationship.
Other interactions Keillor had with women, some a third his age, left them feeling demeaned and objectified. Among them, Laura Denotter. In early 2001, she was studying journalism at the University of Minnesota and aspired to write professionally. That year, Keillor returned to his alma mater to teach a comedy writing class, and Denotter jumped at the chance to learn from him. One day, Keillor asked his students to write a letter that started as a minor complaint, but grew increasingly hostile. Denotter had an idea.
It was meant to be a letter from my grandmother to the makers of Days of Our Lives, complaining about how the plot of this soap opera had become just, like, too incredulous for anyone to believe.
Keeler liked it and paid Donatter $50 to use it in a Ketchup Advisory Council bit on a Prairie Home Companion.
Ketchup, ketchup.
She was elated that a famous writer had noticed her work. Soon, Donatter emailed Keeler to ask if she could intern on his show. He said yes, but Donatter recalls an unexpected addendum to Keeler's reply.
He said, "I'll have to suppress my intense attraction to you, but that can be done."
Donatter recalls rebuffing Keeler while trying to make light of the remark, but the initial confidence she felt about her writing evaporated. She figured Keeler had only noticed her because of her appearance. Donatter completed the internship and says she never heard Keeler say anything inappropriate again. For a long time, she kept quiet about her experience. But when NPR cut ties with Keeler, Donatter shared her story on Twitter with the Me Too hashtag. Today, Donatter is 38 and teaches high school English. She's speaking publicly now in hopes that her students won't let a similar situation undermine their confidence.
I see these young women who are starting to have to deal with the reality of how men will treat them and may treat them like this. And I want to send the message to them that it's not okay. You can speak out and you should speak out if this happens to you.
Many women who've worked with Keeler over the years say they've never experienced anything like this with him and remain flummoxed over NPR's decision to cut ties. Company President John McTaggart reportedly told employees at an off-the-record meeting last month that he alone among staff knew the details of the allegations against Keeler. McTaggart said the specifics had been shared only with lawyers and several board members. Sue Scott, a longtime Prairie Home cast member, says NPR needs to be more forthcoming. She questions how McTaggart could have severed ties before an internal investigation was finished. Scott says people are wrongly conflating inappropriate behavior with sexual predator. Amanda Stanton, who handled marketing for Prairie Home Productions for 3 years in the mid-2000s, says she can't reconcile NPR's decision with the Garrison Keeler she knew.
I never saw anything that was disrespectful. I never saw anything that was inappropriate. The most reserved boss I've ever worked with, truly, is Garrison.
Stanton says the atmosphere at Keeler's office was family-oriented. When she returned to work from maternity leave, she says Keeler set aside space in an empty room as a nursery for her twin boys. But another woman who worked alongside Keeler had a far different experience.
In 1995, Patricia McFadden, a freelance writer then in her late 30s, landed what seemed like a dream job. That fall, she began working for the Writer's Almanac, a short daily program that Keeler had started a few years earlier. McFadden found the research and writing in her job interesting and rewarding, but she does not have fond memories of her 3 years working for Keeler. In her St. Paul dining room last week, McFadden recounted how he seemed to take delight in disparaging the work she and other women handed in. McFadden says Keeler would destroy scripts with dramatic flourish just to humiliate her. She recalls one instance when Keeler complained that she'd tried to include too many women writers on the show.
He didn't want too many female poets or authors to be highlighted, and he wanted to know if I was using some kind of a women's calendar because there seemed to be too many women in this week's Writer's Almanac.
Eventually, she'd had enough and complained to NPR management. In 1998, McFadden's supervisor told her that her job was being eliminated because of restructuring. But McFadden says NPR replaced her with a younger woman. The company has disputed that allegation. Angered by her treatment, McFadden sued NPR in federal court for retaliation and age and sex discrimination. McFadden's attorney says the case was resolved before trial in 1999. Until now, McFadden has never spoken publicly about her experience. But since the revelation last October of sexual assault allegations against Harvey Weinstein and the Me Too movement it reignited, she says it's important for men in positions of authority to be held accountable.
I think people that have power and influence and good fortune have more responsibility to behave well than anybody. And it should not be an excuse to behave badly and to treat others so poorly, especially women.
Another woman who tried to speak up was Liz Fleischman. She also worked for Keeler for about 3 years, including a stint as a producer for the Writer's Almanac. Fleischman had nearly identical stories about Keeler's temperament. When she left the company, Fleischman says she alerted then-NPR President Bill Kling to Keeler's treatment of his staff. As she remembers it, Kling ignored her concerns. He declined to comment for this story, but Fleischman says he could have changed the culture of Keeler's workplace.
It didn't have to be that way. A talent could change their behavior and continue to be a talent and continue to do well. You don't have to be one or the other. You could be both. You could be a kind manager and a very talented manager at the same time.
These allegations about Keeler's treatment of women run contrary to the clean-cut, wholesome reputation of a Prairie Home Companion. Or do they?
There has always been a dark side to some of Keeler's characters. One person who worked on the show said you only have to look at segments such as Guy Noir, Private Eye, and Lives of the Cowboys to see recurring portrayals of women as saloon floozies really or nice femme form. Fatale.
You alone? Care to play around? My name is Jaguar.
It all seemed to delight audiences, but Keeler's humor wasn't always funny offstage. One day in 2012, Molly Hilgenberg was working at Keeler's St. Paul bookstore, Common Good Books, when he dropped by for one of his occasional visits. Hilgenberg says Keeler noticed another young employee and wrote a limerick on a whiteboard behind the cash register. A beauty who goes to McAllister, oh, her face, her limbs, her ballast, her tiny blue kilt, and the way she is built, could make a petrified phallus stir. Hilgenberg says the verse was offensive and demeaning, but the staff felt powerless to do anything about it.
I don't even really remember my reaction. I just was in shock and was like, that is so wildly inappropriate, you know, in my mind, but I didn't say anything, which I still regret to this day.
Hilgenberg shared photos of the verse with NPR News. The woman who was the apparent subject of the poem did not want to be named in our story. She says Keeler sent her a letter saying he was sorry his limerick made her feel bad and went on to explain what limericks are. Neither Hilgenberg nor her coworker quit over the incident. They say they never experienced or saw anything similar in their remaining time at the store. For his part, Keeler appears confident that he's done nothing to merit NPR's cutting of ties. The company has stopped distributing the Writer's Almanac and old Prairie Home shows. In a December Facebook post, just after the breakup, Keeler described the theme of a fictional screenplay he's writing. In it, a man returns home to Lake Wobegon after being fired from his job. His offense? Writing a limerick with sexual innuendo and sending it to his fellow employees. Keeler also says he's hard at work on a novella titled Inappropriate Behavior and on a memoir that deletes NPR from his life story. With reporting from UN Care, I'm Laura Ewan.
And I'm Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.